Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Peter Goldstein on the line, and he is CEO of Exchange Listing, and he's also author of the recently released book, The Entrepreneur's IPO, The Insider's Roadmap to Taking Your Company Public. Peter, welcome to the show.
Adam, thanks so much. Great to be here and great to be connecting with your followers and your community.
All right, Peter. So when I saw that David Meltzer wrote the intro to this, I'm a big fan of David. I mean, he's been on the show before. I've seen him speak many, many times and a big fan of the community he has as well. So I got excited. I'll be upfront to the listeners and to yourself. I have not yet read the book yet, but I did read the intro and the description. And after the show, I have a feeling this is going to be one that I dive into because I've been super curious about IPOs, the IPO world. Does it make sense? Does it not? And you're the guy who wrote the book on it. So great to have you here.
Thank you so much. Yes, we share a relationship, and David and I go back a long ways with him. He's been an important friend and mentor and really quite an inspirational, you know, person to have in my life.
So just to get us kicked off here, like before writing the book, what attracted you to the world of IPOs and really launching Exchange Listing LLC?
So, Adam, I've been a serial entrepreneur. I started my first company in my 20s. I'm now 60, so I was 24.
I was going to say, like, so 10 years ago or so? No.
maybe a little longer.
Gotcha.
And, you know, in entrepreneur years, that's like a few hundred. But, you know, in reality, I was 24, so it's 36 years ago. I had my first exit at 30. And,
wow.
And so for the past 30-some-odd years, I've really been working in the capital markets. And I focus on working with emerging growth, really entrepreneurial companies based all over the world. I've taken two of my own companies public, one to NASDAQ, and I started and built my own boutique investment bank where we specialize in working with, you know, what they would call micro or small cap companies, which I'm happy to define, but with inside of the capital markets, of course, exists the IPO, which is many entrepreneurs' dream, including mine, that I have now had the benefit of completing. And so the book and the work that I do is organized around working with other entrepreneurs and their investors and their stakeholders to advise them and guide them through the process of transforming from a privately held company into a publicly traded company.
And I feel like this is when we think about that concept of going into a publicly held company, I know there's a lot of reasons to do it, but one of the big ones is, of course, you know, access to capital, right? Like that's like different ways to fund and grow your business, right?
Of course. And I think that's the primary, you know, reason. Secondary would be liquidity and having stock as another currency. But of course, you know, and especially relevant in this current environment, you know, it's critical to access capital to fund the growth of a company. And what most entrepreneurs don't understand, which is one of the reasons why I wrote this book, is that you can take a company public earlier in its life cycle on both the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. Of course, there are certain requirements and parameters, but it's a bit of a myth around Wall Street that occurred back when the dot-com era had come and caused, you know, a lot of those earlier companies to fail. The myth became that you need to be a unicorn, quote unquote, to be able to do an IPO. And it's just not true.
Yeah.
We work with entrepreneurs with all sizes and stages of development of their companies in all different sectors.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, by the way, that myth. And I feel like many people, I don't hear about, so my background, I mean, for my long-term listeners, they know I was in finance almost 14 years. So that whole world was, I mean, media now full-time 8 years, and the time is flying there, but I can't even believe I'm saying eight now. But that being said, like, you don't hear about it as much, but just past, which I believe you took part in the microcap conference, right? Like that was represented there. You know, there's a lot of other companies in that space, microcap or small cap, that were represented, right? And they don't have to be that unicorn, yeah?
Absolutely. And that's part of what I want, you know, your listeners and for entrepreneurs to understand, is that as an alternative to pursuing venture capital or an alternative to private equity, entering into the capital markets provide access to capital as could be complementary. It could also be an alternative form of institutional funding.
Mm. You went to the microcap conference. Am I off? I think you did, yeah?
I did, and I had a chance to be on an expert panel, actually with one of your co-founder, one of your colleagues.
Yeah, I was so upset. Well. I got sick, and I was looking forward to that conference for a while, and I got sick, and I, you know, the whole COVID thing and all the other thing. I didn't get that, but I'm just like, I didn't want to travel and get a plane full of people sick because I wanted to go to a conference. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do it, but I wanted to be there. Continue. I just wanted to let you know why I wasn't there.
Yeah, and you were missed, but it was great. And, you know, that's the community that within which I've been a part of for 25 or 30 years. So for me, you know, big portion of what I do, and this also, you know, we can talk about it in the book, is that I bring in expert opinions and expert really execution of different aspects of taking a company public, which require, as an example, tax expertise or legal expertise, you know, the exchange. So this really is, and when you look at each chapter of my book, at the end of each chapter, I had industry tips from very notable experts, including members of the New York Stock Exchange, members of the NASDAQ, members of the London Stock Exchange, to give more knowledge and vantage points to entrepreneurs who are considering a pathway to an IPO. So the book is a very kind of hands-on, I would say, unique perspective regarding the process, so that should somebody want to, you know, take on this kind of chaotic and crazy adventure and journey of wanting to be, you know, publicly listed, they would at least have a basis of practical knowledge to guide them through the process.
What attracts you to working in this space with CEOs of either small cap or micro cap companies and even companies that are looking to go public and haven't quite taken the leap? Like, what attracts you to that space?
You know, that like that old adage, I don't know, if like, you know, when you're looking for a gift, you know, you tend to gravitate to something you would like yourself.
Exactly.
Well, right. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I love working with visionary companies and with visionary CEOs to help bring their vision into a reality. And to me, there's nothing more exciting than that day that you've been working towards, where, you know, you build to that crescendo of, you know, ringing the bell on NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. So it's a very dynamic process. It's incredibly rewarding for me. And also working with small and mid-sized companies, you get to see the impact of your work. And that's really important to me. I want to make an impact. I love working with socially responsible companies and companies that are doing good in the world. But also for me to know that not just the company, but its shareholders, right, its stakeholders, and then the ongoing growth and development and benefits that come from that company once they've launched onto the public market.
Yeah, I remember when I was an advisor, and that was my niche. So I worked with CEOs, I worked with small business owners, and that's exactly where my heart was at. I just love watching their vision come to light and to see that happen. And then just to see, because these are like these companies and this is what, you know, creates jobs. It moves the economy. It just like, I mean, there's so many ripple effects in our society to supporting these people that take on a lot of pressure, stress, responsibility. Like being an entrepreneur, being a CEO of a publicly traded company, like that's just not easy stuff, right?
Agreed. And especially if it's your first time doing it. So, you know, that's a big portion of this book is meant to prevent. I made so many mistakes when I took my company public. I didn't have a trusted advisor, and it's very hard to find. You know, you can turn to a lawyer, but lawyers are going to typically give you legal counsel. You can turn to a banker, and they're going to give you information around, you know, the investment banking and so on. So mine is really both a hands-on and a knowledge base that comes from having done this myself, but also being current in this environment because, you know, Adam, let's face it, this is a very, you know, kind of volatile environment for which to take a company public. It's one of the worst markets we've seen in a long time. We're still getting it done. And yet, you know, to prevent making critical mistakes, you need to have a great team of people around you when you do this.
You know, that's been a theme that I've heard over and over again, specifically when covering the MicroCap conference, and that team is interesting to me. So can you maybe peel that one back a little bit, go a little bit further into what that team could consist of?
Well, so, you know, if you look at your typical, you've got your C-suite, but then here, like the team for MicroCap or small cap IPO, of course, would be, you know, an advisory team, your investment banking team, and then the selection of that banker becomes very critical. You have your legal team, your securities counsel, right? And then you need a board of directors. Often on that board, you need independent directors who have to have expertise in certain areas. And then we like to look even further, which is, you know, assuming that you are operating as a public company, what would need to be organized in the gaps that exist in your current company and that would fit inside of the company culture. So it's really, you know, it's that human resource component that we're talking about that's just so critical for, you know, being able to kind of navigate this process. And as we look at it, every one of those kind of vital positions are critical to the success of the company we're preparing for. We focus a lot on readiness. So preparing for the IPO, executing on the IPO, and then more importantly is how those team members contribute to the company once it's publicly listed.
So the book has a comprehensive roadmap into what it takes. Obviously we're not gonna go through the entire book, but maybe just give us the bird's eye view of what it looks like. I definitely want the listeners to go pick it up, and we'll have this interview out pretty soon. We're recording today on February 6th, and I just picked up a copy, by the way. I see you have it on sale right now at 99 cents for the Kindle version. So I'm in. I just bought a copy. I know what I'm reading this weekend. But give us the bird's eye view of the book, if you will.
There are 12 chapters. Each one is a critical step along that roadmap that you mentioned. And if you would imagine it, that it takes you from, you know, the first step of determining that you, why you would want to go public, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the options and the advantages. And then each one is a critical step all the way up until, you know, you're ringing the bell. And then the last chapter, of course, is about, you know, what happens after you have become a company and how to be sustainable as a public company. So there's a very kind of educational approach and pragmatic approach to it from the point of consideration all the way through, you know, the bell ringing and then your ongoing journey.
And in this, you mentioned that you don't just maybe sugarcoat, but you also talk about like what not to do, right? Like the pitfalls or the wrongs. Is that right?
There's some of that, of course, in there. You know, this book, it could go on for days with the stories about what to do and what not to do, you know, and obviously that's a big portion of it. It's constantly changing because the regulatory environment is fluid, right? So there really would not be enough room to talk about all the things that, you know, you have to, you know, be cautionary about. But that's where, you know, I would say the advisory and the other aspect. But this is a very good primer for people to begin to get the education possible. And just like any other, you know, very complex, you know, undertaking, you know, once you have that basic understanding, it will provide you with a background to be able to have discussions with, you know, the people that you would involve, including making the decision to want to go down this. It's not for everybody. You know, this is a very, as you said, it's a very, you know, challenging role and undertaking, extremely rewarding, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah. Peter, I mean, as a traditionally successful CEO, how do you define success?
That's a good one. I actually recently wrote an article in entrepreneur.com that was about redefining success. You know, I've been, you know, an entrepreneur and CEO for 35 some odd years now. And I think in the earlier parts of my career, you know, I looked at the traditional metrics, you know, growth, you know, revenue,
yeah,
profitability, you know, the other KPIs. And what's happened as I've gotten a little bit older is that I'm focused now on, you know, the journey beyond the balance sheet and the P&L. And what does that really mean? To me, it's about being more fulfilled and the impact that I want to make, you know, with others as part of my entrepreneurial career. So I'm focused, you know, beyond those, the traditional metrics. So I'm looking at things into client satisfaction, you know, team culture, you know, leadership growth. You know, those are all aspects that I'm looking at, which actually can be measured. And so I evaluate, you know, success based upon more of sustained growth, you know, innovation, you know, kind of value-based standards. And of course, you know, my brand, my reputation, my integrity, and how those all come into play as a different form of success.
Mm. Yeah, I think with every season at this point, so I'm in my 40s now, right? And I look back at how we started this conversation about, like, you know, how long you've been in business. And I think every decade, I probably redefine what success looks like. Now it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to my 50s and my 60s, God willing, right? I'm blessed to be able to see those years and to see how my version of success evolves. And I encourage the audience, everybody listening to this, to maybe reflect on what you feel it is. Because the cool part, in my opinion, about success and this thing of life is that there's no one right way to do it, right? Like, especially entrepreneurship. Like, there's a, you know, I'll interview one person, Peter, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I jumped off the ledge and I started this crazy career, entrepreneur, whatever. Then the next person I interview, they'll say, yeah, no, I was actually testing the product and doing this and that for 15 years before I had it where I wanted it. And then I had a very strategic. So there's a lot of different ways to do this thing we call entrepreneurship. Yeah,
no doubt. Well said. And I would echo, you know, your thoughts about, you know, some reflective evaluation. I think, you know, an entrepreneurial journey, you know, is one for me that ongoingly you kind of want to look at where are you and measure and then, you know, reassess. But I think it's especially important, you know, for some thoughtful examination of those decision-making and problem-solving skills as an entrepreneur, as a founder, focused on the effectiveness of your past, you know, the lessons that you learned. And then from that, you know, differentiate some goals that are not just about those typical, you know, markers, right, that we all look at, and look at establishing some goals that are really from those insights. And that's kind of a pivotal aspect of what I look at as like a self-monitoring, self-mentoring blueprint.
Yeah. So final question, Peter, if there was one takeaway, I know there's many, but if there was one takeaway from this book that you'd hope that the readers that pick it up receive, what would that be?
Well, I'm going to frame it this way, Adam. I think number one, access to the entrepreneurial community by taking your company public is available and misunderstood by many as a viable way to grow your business in the capital markets. And then the other takeaway I would add is, if any of you are actively considering an IPO, do your homework and be 100% committed before embarking on the journey. It is one that, while it is incredibly rewarding to be able to access that transformational capital and liquidity. It takes a very significant commitment for anywhere from 12, 18, 24 months, you know, of your time and of your life to be able to reach that goal.
So speaking of individuals that may be considering going IPOing, if somebody like to learn more about exchange listing, how do they do that? And also, if somebody wants to pick up a copy of The Entrepreneur's IPO, how do they do that?
So two things, Adam. One, you know, I'm very active on LinkedIn. I put out a lot of information about the IPO market and about leadership. And so you can connect with me, you know, on LinkedIn. And for your listeners that are interested in a book, you can obviously, you can buy it on Amazon. You can also connect and DM with me on LinkedIn, and we can make arrangements and point you in the right direction.
Amazing. Thank you again, Peter, for coming on the show today. And to the audience, as always, hey, if this is your first time tuning in and you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, here is your invitation. Peter gave a ton of knowledge today. This is our aim at Mission Matters. We bring on amazing guests like Peter to share knowledge to save us both time and money. So hopefully we don't make some of the mistakes that we don't have to if we can listen to a podcast episode and learn. And if you're feeling really generous, then leave me a review too. And we surely appreciate that here at Mission Matters. Peter, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much again. And next year, I'm not getting sick. I will be at the MicroCap Conference. Mark my words. So we'll meet in person then.
Fair enough. Look forward to it.